Good morning, welcome. Good to see all of you here. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. It was the last of God's revealed word for almost 400 years until John the Baptizer burst upon the scene. Malachi connects the Old Testament with the New Testament by its prophecies of John the Baptist and the first coming of Jesus. There was nothing more to be said. God had done all that he could for his people, and the only thing he had left to offer them was his son, the Messiah. In Malachi's day, the Jewish remnant had returned from having been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. They had rebuilt Jerusalem and its walls. They had rebuilt the temple and restored its worship. They were no longer worshiping idols that had so plagued them before returning from captivity. A tremendous restoration had taken place, but it was not complete. Their hearts had not been fully restored. God sent one last prophet to his people to encourage them, to remind them, and also to warn them of what they needed to correct. In Malachi chapter 1, and beginning at verse 6, it says, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts." I want us to first of all consider this question in verse 6. Where is my honor? Where is my reverence? God, through the prophet Malachi, had brought a complaint to the people, to the priests. And, you know, one might think that captivity for 70 years in Babylon would have helped the Israelites develop a more respectable attitude towards God, especially after that deliverance from Babylonian captivity. Yet that was not the case. The spiritual and moral condition of the people had again become shameful. Not that they had reverted back to worshiping idols, but the spiritual and moral condition of the people had again reached a point of shame in the eyes of God. Sons honoring their father. That was a principle that was ingrained into the Jewish people. The fifth of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 and verse 12 was for the Jews to honor your father and your mother. That word honor means to respect. It means to hold in high regard. It means to take care of your parents when they're unable to care for themselves. Sons honoring their fathers was ingrained into the hearts of those Jewish people in the Old Testament. God was Israel's father. And yet the people, the Jews in Malachi's day, the priests in particular, gave him no honor. Now that word honor means to ascribe value. It means to be respectful. God expected all those sacrifices that were offered in Old Testament times, those animal sacrifices in particular, to be without blemish. God would not accept sacrifices with any serious defects. Just to point out one verse that makes that crystal clear, Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 21. It says, but if there is a defect in it, talking about the animal sacrifice, if there's a defect in it, it is lame, or if it is lame or blind or has any serious defect, you shall not sacrifice it to the Lord your God. God was very specific about this. He would not accept sacrifices that had any serious defects. And yet here is that Jewish remnant, those priests in Malachi's day, who are offering animals that have defects in them. And they had the audacity to think that God was pleased with that, that God accepted those sacrifices. They showed no reverence for God. They showed no honor for God. They showed no respect, honor for the altar in offering those animal sacrifices. They sacrificed to God that which they would not even sacrifice to the governor. And even if they did offer it to the governor, even the governor would not accept that sacrifice. And if the governor was not going to receive the sacrifice, what made them think God would accept it? Obviously, he did not. That illuminated the indifference that was in the hearts of those priests, that was in the heart of God's people. The indifferent attitude that they had developed toward God. Not in the form of idolatry, but in the form of offering animal sacrifices that had serious defects, thinking God would accept them when God told them specifically that He would not accept those sacrifices. Later on in the book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 8, God accused them of robbing Him by not bringing the tithes and the offerings that they were supposed to. Look at that, Malachi 3 and verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings? And then in verse 9 and verse 10, the challenge was for the Jews to bring to God the whole tithe, the best, not the worst, not the least. Back in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6, right after this question that God through the prophet asked, where is my honor? Where is my reverence? Another question that's asked here by the priests, and they ask, in what way have we despised your name? In other words, they were asking Malachi, asking God, what in the world are you talking about? They didn't have a clue. They did not have a clue. Why did they not have a clue? I'll tell you why. They were not in tune to God. They were not connected to God. They were disconnected from God. That's why. God did not accept their worship because of their disconnect. The priests were disconnected to God. They didn't have a clue. Oh, they should have had a clue, yes, by far. But they didn't. And because of that, God did not accept their worship. What we think honors God may not really honor God. And so it behooves us to ask ourselves, are we offering what God really expects? When we do what God says, when we offer to God and worship to Him what He has said in His Word, that is how we honor Him. That is how we revere Him. That is how we please Him. And if we want to honor God, if we want to revere God, to hold Him in high regard, then we've got to give to Him what He really wants. Even though the Jews had worshipped God, He was not pleased because He didn't give them the best. They didn't give God their best. They gave the worst. And the sad thing about all that was, they didn't even know it. They didn't even recognize that. They gave God the worst and didn't even recognize it. They didn't see anything wrong with what they did in offering the lame and the blind and the weak. Several times in Malachi, God accused the Jews of something that they did that was wrong, and each time the people denied it. We didn't do anything wrong. So the prophet Malachi was there to try to set them straight and point out to them what they needed to do to be right with God. Now, what are some lessons we can learn from Malachi? Well, first of all, one lesson we need to learn from this book is that too often we don't see ourselves as God sees us. That was a problem with the priests, with the Jews in Malachi's day. That's a problem with us sometimes today, too. We may think that we're doing just fine when we really aren't doing just fine. We may think that we are following God's commands when we really aren't. We may think that there's nothing wrong with our hearts when there is. And all the while, God says we've got a long way to go. And that is very vividly illustrated in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17 with the church at Laodicea. For some reason, that's not coming up, but we'll go on. Revelation 3, verse 17. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. The church at Laodicea thought that they were doing great. But Jesus said otherwise. Jesus said they were lukewarm. They weren't hot or cold. They were not even close in their assessment of themselves. They didn't see themselves as God saw them. Now, how does that happen? Well, it could be due to a wrong attitude that we have towards sin. Perhaps we've lived in and among sin so much and for so long and seen so much of it in the world that it just doesn't bother us anymore. May God help us that that not be the case. Sometimes when we sin, we're not ashamed of it. After all, we justify ourselves. No one's perfect. We all make mistakes. You know what? That type of thinking shows that we don't think of sin the same way God thinks about it. Sin is awful. Sin is repulsive to God. Sin stinks to God. Sin is an affront to God. But if sin does not stink to us, if sin is not repulsive to us, you think we're going to work very hard to get rid of it in our lives? No way, no how. And that in turn will lead us to view ourselves in a much more favorable light than God sees us. What all that points out to us is we need a big dose of humility is what we need. And we need to become like Jesus said in one of the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We need to be, like Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And when we do that, we will be filled. But our problem today is too often we don't see ourselves as God sees us. But that's how we need to see ourselves. As God sees us. Sinners. In need of His love, His grace, His mercy. As spiritually bankrupt. That's one lesson we learn from Malachi. Another lesson we learn from him is God deserves our best. God has never given us His leftovers. Why should we give Him ours? And think that He's pleased with that. We mentioned Malachi 3 verse 8 a little bit ago. Giving tithes in the Old Testament for the Jews was certainly reasonable for them to do that, since God is the owner of everything. And while Christians, of course, are not commanded to tithe today, they still must give to God according to how they've prospered. And we read about those principles of giving in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, and 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. Those early Christians, if some of them were thinking we can give God the leftovers in our giving and God be pleased with that, they were deceiving themselves. And we're deceiving ourselves today if we think the same way. Sometimes people may say or think, what's the least amount of money I can give today to the work of the church and God be pleased with that? Even asking that question, you're relating yourself to those priests in the time of Malachi. Offering God second best. The worst, the least, and think He'd be pleased with it. As the Israelites dishonored God by not giving the tithe, so Christians today dishonor God when they refuse to give to further the cause of Christ here on earth. God sent the best of heaven. He sent His only begotten Son, the best that He had. And since God thinks so highly of us and has given the very best for us, shouldn't we think highly of Him too? Shouldn't we give our best to God? When we give our best to our employers at work, which a lot of us do, when we give our best, if we're students in school, to our teachers, and we do the work that they assign us to do, or when we serve the community in which we live the best way we know how, in being law-abiding citizens. But then we refuse to honor God in our worship. Are we not as guilty as God's people of old in not honoring God? You know the answer to the question just as well as I do. We are not honoring God when we give Him the second best. When we cannot wait to get out of a worship service of the church. When God's affairs mean absolutely nothing to us. When we think that we don't need to be or have to be here to worship God, or that we need to be or have to be in Bible class to learn more of God's Word, then folks, we're not giving God our best. We're not. When we think about everything else except the sacrifice of Christ, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are not giving God our best. When we give just a small amount of money, if anything, when the collection plate is passed because we spent all of our money on our own pleasures and our own pursuits in life, are we not refusing to give God our best? Jesus commended a poor widow for giving two mites because she cast in all her living. Now, don't use that as a reason to try to see what's the least amount of money I can put in the collection plate every week. God be pleased with that. The purpose of that illustration is to show the importance of sacrificial giving. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing." If you have cash in your pocket and then one Sunday you give what's in the left pocket, the next Sunday you give what's in the right pocket, and you don't know how much money's in either pocket, you think that's purposeful giving? You think God is pleased with that? Is that the best we have to offer Him? I'll tell you, even if we were to offer everything we had on any given Sunday, that still wouldn't compare and be enough to compare with what God has given us spiritually. And are we so bold and brazen as to think that the material is more important than the spiritual? A lot of people live like that, and it's sad. But the spiritual is far more important than the material. When we listen to a preacher preach and we wish he'd just hurry up and get done, rather than intently looking into the Scriptures for ourselves and to learn something from the lesson that a preacher is presenting, are we really giving God our best? If a preacher is not doing his best to present a lesson from God's Word, is he not guilty of not honoring God? The problem with the Jews in Malachi's day was that they didn't have their hearts totally restored to God. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves in that same situation. In every act of worship to God, we've got to give our hearts into it. Have the right attitude. Have the right spirit. And do it according to truth. John 4:24. Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. When we have so much of the world tugging at our heart, it's easy for us to rationalize and think we can give second best and God will be pleased with that. Or I'm doing better than he is or she is when it comes to worship. Or I'm giving more money than he is or she is. It's easy for us to get into this mindset of thinking that we can just barely scrape by and think God is pleased with that. It's easy for us to get into that mindset, that way of thinking. Especially when everything in the world is tugging at our heart and tempting us to do things that are not right. Our own desires, our own interests often take priority over the Lord's desires, the Lord's interests. And they can distract us from giving God our best. These two lessons we learned from Malachi. Too often we don't see ourselves as God sees us, and we need to understand, if we don't already know this, that God deserves our best. We need to see sin for what it really is. It's ugly. It's repulsive to God. It's an abomination to God. It stinks. And when I find myself guilty of it, I need to just admit it, confess it, repent of it, and make it right. And that's offering God the best. And we don't need to allow Satan to draw us away from God. Oh, he's trying to do that. And he's working very hard at that. But we need to do like James said in James 4 and verse 7, resist the devil. Resist him, and he'll flee from you. Bottom line, as Christians, in whatever we do, in worship to God or on a daily basis, whatever we do, we need to be giving God our best. Our best. And He's not pleased with anything less than the best we have to offer. That's how important this is. Now let's go back to Malachi. This time to the last chapter. In fact, the last word in the Old Testament. In Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. When those Jews in Old Testament times gave God their best, God showered them with abundant blessings. That was the challenge for them in chapter 3 when they gave the whole tithe. God was basically saying, look what I can do for you now that you're giving me the whole tithe. He promised to shower them with abundant blessings. Now that doesn't mean that just because we're Christians, we're always going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. No. That just means that when we worship God and give ourselves to Him and give Him our best, He's pleased with that. That's what that means. When those Jews in Malachi's day, the priests did not honor God as God directed, look at the last word in Malachi. It's the word curse. When those priests, when those Jews in Malachi's day did not honor God as he directed them to do, they were cursed. That word, curse, is the last word of the Old Testament. And that word pretty much sums up the history of God's people in the Old Testament. They were a cursed people because they did not honor God. May God help us that not be said of His people today. Give God our best. And when we do that, see if God won't shower upon us blessings. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you need to realize that you need God and that you need His Son, Jesus Christ. God sent the best of heaven, His only begotten Son, to die on Calvary's cross for your sins, for mine, for the sins of the whole world. He gave His best. He wants our best in return. And that's doable. That's workable. And that's not asking too much either. That's not asking too much. God expects us to honor Him, to reverence Him. And we do that by obeying Him. As it begins in becoming a Christian, believing in God, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus Christ, and being baptized in His name. For the remission of sins. That's the starting place right there. You can begin to give honor and respect to God by becoming a Christian. Give Him your best. Give Him your all. And I guarantee you, if you're faithful to the very end, it'll be worth it. It'll be well worth it. Whatever we might need or have to sacrifice now, it'll be worth it 100-fold in the end if we're faithful. If as a child of God you've failed to give God your best and you've fallen short, and you need to repent of those wrongs, confess those wrongs, sins, if they be of a public nature. And we'd be happy to pray with you and pray for you that your heart might be right with God. If you're subject to heaven's invitation this morning, we invite you to come forward now while together we stand and while we sing.